We're so excited that you are here for Back to School Blessing 2024. You know, a blessing is when we pray God's best, God's favor, God's blessing over someone else's life, maybe over their business, over their school, over their family, over their marriage, whatever the case might be. And that's our prayer, that today is a blessing over everyone who is starting school this coming year, everyone whose kids are starting school, everyone who serves and works in the schools. That's what we want this to be. And this is something that is church-wide. You don't have to be going back to school. It's our prayer as a church that we are a blessing to our schools, to our community, to our city. And that's what this is all about.
And so we would love to take this opportunity right now to pray for. We're going to pray for parents and kids too, but we want to start by praying for all of our educators. If you are a teacher, an administrator, a bus driver, if you serve in the cafeteria, if you're a school nurse, would you please stand? Because number one, we would love to thank you.
All of our administrators.
All administrators, all
please,
teachers,
thank
coaches,
you for what you do.
Yeah.
Wow. Brandon, thank y'all. Very quickly, I want to just take a quick second and recognize Paul Norton, the superintendent of Lake Travis Independent School District. Thank you so much for being here with your family and making the time.
Yeah.
We pray for you as you start a new school year, especially.
We know that we don't know what it's like to teach.
So y'all stay standing. Don't sit down.
Yeah, to teach and lead our kids and make decisions in 2024, and we are grateful. We are grateful that there are men and women who step in and say, I will do this. I will do this for the next generation. It's a calling, and we recognize that, and we are so, so grateful. We'd love to pray for you guys right now. God, thank you so much for the calling you put on these men and women's hearts to serve you in this way, to serve our children, to serve our community, to serve our families. We ask right now that you give them an extra measure of patience, of wisdom and discernment. God, give them your vision as they lead, as they teach, as they support, as they coach. We are grateful for them, and we ask your blessings on them this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to ask all of our parents, if you have a student who is starting school this fall, if all of our parents would please stand to your feet.
No matter the age of your kid, if you're sending a preschooler, a college kid,
a
grad student.
Listen, I want you to know something. As a church, we know that a major part of our calling is to partner with you to do the job that God has called you to. You are called to a task like Julie and I were called to a task back when we had kids. And we believe so strongly in what God wants to do through you, moms and dads, in the lives of your children, your kids, your students. And we are here to help, to support. We're going to challenge you. We're going to call you out sometimes, but always on the way to calling you up to what God has called you to do in this divine appointment as a parent. I want to pray for you today. Father, in this moment, we thank you for all of these moms and dads. We pray, God, that you would bless them. Bless them, God, with your favor with their children. That you would bless them with wisdom beyond their own. God, that you would give them an extra measure of grace and truth as this new school year begins. We pray this prayer in the name that is above every name, your son Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much.
Okay.
You may be seated.
Last group, kids and students, if you are entering pre-K, K, all the way through college, we want to pray for you. We go ahead, stand up. Come on, let's put our hands together for the
amen.
Next generation. I want to tell you, we believe in you.
Yeah.
We are with you. We are for you. There is a place for you here. There is a place for you to belong. There is a place for you to serve. We love you, and I'd love to pray for you right now. God, I thank you so much for the hearts of these kids and students. And God, we come to you knowing that you already have them in the palm of your hand. and that you know exactly what is ahead for them. We ask right now that you hover over them, Holy Spirit, that you remind them that you are with them and for them, and that you are the strength that makes them strong enough. And God, we ask that you give them that extra measure of courage, the extra measure of wisdom and discernment, and friends who surround them, who point them to you, because your way is always the best way. And again, we just ask your hand of blessing on them. May this year be the best year yet. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Oh, man. I love me some back-to-school blessings.
I do, too. First of all, I love school supplies. And that is irrelevant to the topic today. But back-to-school means Sharpies and flare pens.
Priorities, babe.
I know.
It's priorities.
And, you know, we don't even have kids in our house anymore, and I still do back-to-school shopping for myself.
I do know that.
Yeah.
I do know that.
Back to the office shopping?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I'm into it.
Always about the gear. You know, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them like you mean it. You made a great choice today. You made a great choice to be here. You made a great, I'm really glad you made the choice you did.
You made a great choice to be here today.
You made a great choice to be here because today, in addition to Back to School Blessing, we are kicking off a brand new teaching series called Strong Enough. And it's rooted in the life and the biblical book of Joshua. Over the next few weeks, together as a church family, we're going to do a deep dive on the life and the book Joshua. Now, Joshua is an interesting character in the narrative of scriptural history. Joshua, of course, was Moses' successor. Moses, you know, kind of one of the pillars of the faith. Moses had led Israel out of Egyptian slavery. God had given him the Ten Commandments. He led them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness up to the point of taking over the promised land. But at that point, Moses passed the baton, to use an Olympic reference, Moses passed the baton to our man Joshua. Now, Joshua is interesting in all of Scripture. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Maps, you will notice a trend that the Bible didn't pull any punches on the heroes of the faith like Moses, Abraham before him, King David. The Bible's very, very clear about human weaknesses and mistakes and sin and doesn't pull any punches on that. I mean, Abraham was a liar and a deceiver. Moses was a murderer. David committed adultery and murder. And yet, God used them in powerful, powerful ways. But when you come to the life of Joshua, you have an example in Scripture of somebody that is always in the recorded word. Now, we know he wasn't perfect. He was a human being like you and like me. But what is recorded for us in Scripture is an incredible track record of faithfulness. From his time as a young man serving Moses as his assistant and apprentice, all the way through to the very end. And today, we're going to begin at the beginning of Joshua's life. In Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 6, and I want to do something today that we do from time to time, not always, but we're going to put the verses on the screen behind me, and the highlighted words, everyone here, I want you to read them out loud with me. Now, we're going to start with some highlighted words, so you got to kind of sit up straight and bring your A game at the very jump. You got it? Horrible. Let's try that again. You got it?
Got it.
All right, so on three, we're going to start together. Joshua chapter 1, we're starting with verse 6. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Be strong and courageous,
for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Verse 7, read it with me.
Be strong and very courageous.
Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Skipping down to verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an amazing, amazing promise. Now, you can probably figure from just that passage where we get the idea for strong enough, that God calls people, like he called Joshua, to be strong in living out this life. And so whether you're starting school or not, we from time to time, we may do a sermon or a series or a season that maybe targets a specific group of people or a specific effort, but we never, ever leave anyone behind. This is relevant for every one of us. If there's any area of your life that maybe could get stronger, maybe needs shoring up, I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to make weekend worship a priority. Make this time a priority over the next few weeks as we dive into this incredible, incredible narrative, Strong Enough. But today what we're going to focus on is just a very, very small phrase that was in the first verse that we read. It's incredible when God says, be strong and courageous to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. But I want to show you something, what he said at the end. He said, you will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. He says, I'm going to call you to lead, and I need you to be strong and courageous, and I am going to give all the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God is saying right here that there is a very, very specific area of blessing. Now, in this particular case, it was a geographical area, a region, the promised land, that was the fulfillment of a covenant, a promise that he had made to Abraham over 450 years before this moment. But here, the promise is coming true. The promise is coming to fruition. But there's a principle within this promise that we have to grab a hold of. In this promise, whenever God bestows blessing, he always requires responsibility. Whenever he bestows a blessing, every single time, he requires responsibility from us when he blesses us. You've got a blessing, I've got a blessing, then there's a responsibility attached to it. I will tell you, this lovely lady to my right and your left, the greatest human blessing I have in my life. Matter of fact, yesterday was 33 years of wedded bliss. Thank you, thank God, and thank Julie.
Thank you.
We'll talk later. But with this blessing has come responsibility to be the husband. Later on, to become the dad that God was calling me to be. There is always, always a circle of responsibility that we've got to own if we're going to experience the blessing.
Circle of responsibility. I love that term because no matter your age or life stage, everyone has a circle of responsibility. And life works best when we are mindful about, when we take the time to look at our responsibilities and evaluate them. Galatians 6, verses 4 and 5. If you are in Fearless Mom, you have heard this verse many times. I think we say it to moms all the time. Embrace your responsibility. Embrace your responsibility. But it applies to everyone. We're going to read the highlighted words together. And this goes to that circle of responsibility. Here we go. Pay careful attention to
your own work.
Your own work. Mind your own business is another way to say that. Pay careful attention to your own work. Be mindful of your own work. Pay attention to, be intentional about your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Here it comes. For we are each
responsible.
Okay, pause. So Mac and I prepared this whole message about responsibility. And I could see some of you were so happy to be here for Back to School Blessing. And the minute Mac said, we're going to talk about responsibility, you were like, yo, bleh. Well, this is how we're going to say responsible. Put a smile on your face, okay? Because we all have responsibilities. And remember, responsibility is just part of getting a blessing. And so we've been given this blessing of life, and therefore we are responsible about what we do with it, right? With a smile on your face. For we are each...
responsible.
It sounds a little different. We're going to try it again. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I was a first grade teacher. I will do it until I have 100% participation. And it's not even awkward for me. Here we go. For
we are each responsible
for our own conduct. Each one of us is responsible for our own conduct, for our own choices, for our own behavior, and whatever follows those choices, that conduct, that behavior. We are responsible for that. Every one of us has a circle of responsibility. Raise your hand if at one time in your life you were a baby. I want to see everyone who was a baby at one point in time. Raise your hand. Let me look around. Oh, look at that, kids. Make sure your parents have their hands up because everyone was a baby at one time. When you were a baby, your circle of responsibility, you didn't have much responsibility. Your only responsibility was to let everyone know when you were hungry, when you were wet, or when you were tired. All you had to do is say, when. And then the big responsibility was the people around you. The adults in your life had to then respond to that, and they had to feed you, change you, or put you to bed. You see, in God's design, the parent takes care of that child, but little by little, the child gets more and more responsibility. The parent, to go back to your metaphor, passes the baton of responsibility. Oh my word, how about Team USA? Okay, passes the baton. I want you to know that I did not interrupt you when you just mentioned the Olympics, even though we're winning in medals. Okay, so pass the baton of responsibility to the child. Gradually, it's a little bit at a time. This always makes me think of this magic trick that I've seen before. And guys, we just so happen to have a magician with us today.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on. This is the Amazing Ace. All right, Ace, you've got a magic trick for us today.
I do have a magic trick. Thank you so much for having me back to School Blessing. I'm so excited to show you guys this magic trick with these two rings. Now, these two rings are solid and they're independent, but if I give them a little tap in the right spot, I can go 1, 2, 3, and they actually come right together just like that.
What?
Wait a minute.
Look, if I take it, and I can take both rings just like this. Look, if I give it a snap, they actually come right apart.
Okay, I've been watching and I keep thinking by the second service, I'm going to know how to do it. I still don't understand, but I do want you to put them back together for our illustration.
Okay, so if I take them like this and I run back and forth, you're getting very sleepy. Is it working? No, it's not. Okay. But if I give them a little rub, then they're actually back together.
That is nuts.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Okay, Ace. So what we want to show you is that the parent's responsibility. So this is the baby over here. This is the child. Ace is holding the parent. When the baby's born, all of the responsibility is on the parent. But gradually, the child gets more and more responsibility, and eventually, the child leaves the nest. And some of you are thinking, Julie, you need to work harder. Well, this also illustrates, you know, we don't just go from childhood to adulthood just like that. And sometimes there's actually some friction when children are trying to leave the nest. That is normal and that is natural. But as parents, our job, our responsibility is to remember the goal is separate circles of responsibility. Amazing. How about the Amazing Ace?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ace.
Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way, finish it for me, he should
go.
Say it like you mean it, in the way he should
go.
And training to go means letting go. And it's not easy as parents, but that's our responsibility. It happens a little bit at a time. It's not overnight. And it doesn't always go smoothly. But our responsibility as parents is to let them go, giving them little more responsibility every day at every stage. You know, and Fearless Mom and in LHC Kids and in LHC Students, we're going to be doing the Strong Enough series as well. And in Fearless Mom, we're going to talk a lot about what that looks like, how to give them more responsibility and why we should, because all of the research says, we all agree right here, we want our kids to develop confidence, to be resilient, to feel like, I can do this. All of the research shows if we want to mitigate and minimize anxiety and depression, then we actually give them more responsibility, yep. not less. Amen. We do it in an age-appropriate and intentional manner. We pay careful attention to our work, but we want to help you in that. We want to partner with you. And so we'd love for you to be a part of those things. Again, it's not rocket science, but it's not always easy. And so we want to rally around you. And kids, we want to encourage you. And students, you are strong enough. Yeah. You are strong enough to take care of your circle of responsibility. And everything is built on this biblical foundation.
Yeah.
Because God's way is the best way. And although our world is changing, God's word is not. It never changes.
No, so true. I think it's important, too, for students to understand something very near and dear to our hearts. And parents, you're welcome to listen to this, too. We very, very deliberately are structured as a community of faith, as a church, in such a way we could not do what God has called us to do without our students. We can't do it. Now, I don't mean like, man, we really value you. That's true. But we have to have students who are stepping into their own identity, stepping into who God has created and called them to be in leadership roles in middle school. They're actually now serving elementary school kids. High schoolers are serving middle school and elementary school kids. We could not function, and that is not an accident. That is very, very intentional and by design. So parents, we're here, as I said earlier, we want to help. We want to partner with you. And I want to give you another way to think about this circle of responsibility. Think about a hula hoop. How many of y'all can hula hoop? How many of y'all can hula hoop in the room right now?
Yes, I can. I'm not going to.
I cannot. And that's okay. But we all, whether you can hula hoop or not, we all have a hoop of responsibility. Now, as Julie said, when the children are born, the hoops are overlapping. Kids have no responsibility. They don't have to do anything. They don't do anything. They're beautiful little bundles of joy, but they don't do anything. Have no responsibility. Over time, the responsibility gets shifted, handed off, given to them, with accountability, with help, with, you know, let's take a look at how that happened so that ultimately they move away from the parents and the parents get to just watch and cheer from the sidelines. That's the goal. And so it's important that we understand the goal is for all of us, no matter where we are in life, to own your hoop. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, own your hoop.
Own your hoop.
You have to own your hoop. And within that ownership, there are some very, very practical things that I think, especially around back to school, come into really, really sharp focus. I mean, we're all crazy busy all the time, but especially back to school and for families that are going back to school, there are so many responsibilities in the parents' hoop.
So this
there's
is the
meal prep.
Hoop.
This is parents' hoop.
And here's
hoop.
The kids' hoop.
Kids'
so
hoop.
So meal prep. Yes.
Meal prep.
Excellent.
Or
if you're
maybe
in our
if
family,
you're like in our family.
Meal prep.
Meal prep. Groceries.
Groceries. Excellent.
Oh, how about laundry?
Laundry. Yes.
Oh, book bags and
getting
supplies.
Getting all the school supplies ready. Making sure every kid has exactly what they need.
Oh.
All
bag,
the athletic equipment that your kid
extracurricular,
needs. Extracurricular.
How about this one? The calendar. Managing the calendar. Nobody ever told me what that was going to be like.
Managing the family calendar.
Packing
excellent.
Lunches.
Lunches, yes.
Oh, getting up for breakfast.
Waking
yourself
everyone
up.
Else on, up on time. Excellent.
And then, of course, there's driving everybody around.
Can we just pause for a minute? And out of all the vehicles that we saw, Max said, this car will represent carpool driving.
Now, let me say this.
I just want to say that never in my life have I seen a car like this in the carpool line. But okay.
I think there'd be a lot of happier moms if they did. My point is, I thought it would be kind of fun, and there aren't a whole lot of toy Honda Odyssey minivans around. So that's why I got that one.
Okay, excellent.
You're welcome.
So the first thing we do when we own our hoop is?
The first thing we've got to do is examine the hoop. Take a look and examine what is in the hoop of responsibility in your life, for your family. As parents, we do this. We take a look at the hoop of finances. We didn't even get into the hoop of work for mom and dad that pays for all this stuff. This is just kind of like a little sample list. But you have to examine your hoop. Examine what is in your hoop, what should be in your hoop.
Because next, this is what I'm going to speak mainly to parents right now. Our job is to, everybody in life has to own their hoop. And this is not just parenting. This is not just back to school. Because everyone has hoops of responsibility in marriage, at work, in your neighborhood. Understanding who's, you know, taking care of what. You have to do a hoop check every so often. And so I want to encourage families in particular, marriages, neighborhoods, take time to do a hoop check. And so you look and you go, okay, family, this is what's going on in our hoop. So you examine the hoop. Number two, you edit the hoop. All right, kids, this is where you guys come in. So I'm looking at the hoop as mom, as dad. We're looking at, we're saying, okay, what can we move over? Number three, so we examine the hoop, we edit the hoop. Number three, kids, this one's for you and students, expand your hoop.
Amen.
Look at this hoop over here. What on earth is going on with this empty hoop? And so, as mom, I'm going, hey, here's a hoop check, family. This is what we've got going on. Well, guess what? Every child is responsible for their own backpack this year. Okay? We're going to make sure you know how to do it, but you're going to be equipped. You're responsible. You know what else? And kids, you can say, hey, you know what, mom and dad? I can make my own lunch. I can do it. Do you know that therapists will say, I've heard multiple say, is there something that you're doing for your child that he or she could do on his own? And if that's the case, you're delaying his development. And so I would say, but Mac, I like to do this. And Mac said, you know what, Julie, when Joe was in middle school, he needs to do his laundry from practice. He needs to wash his own clothes. And I said, but I like doing laundry / control the laundry. And he said, that's interesting. And irrelevant. If you've heard me say, you've heard that before.
Wait, but I did say it's interesting, but irrelevant, sweetheart.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
He said it in a very kind way, but he moved that moved to Joe's hoop of responsibility. And so, and then they started doing more of their own laundry, for crying out loud. Many of you can wake yourselves up in the morning. Game changer for the whole family.
It would have been great if your mom had done that for you.
Okay, Max, stop that right now. This
when
is
we
about
first
parents
got married,
and children. This is about kids going back to school. I think mom is watching right now. Oh, my word. And so we do a hoop check. So we examine the hoop, we edit the hoop, and we expand the hoop. Students and kids, you are strong enough to expand your hoop.
Yep.
You are strong enough to expand your hoop. And a lot of times the parents will go, oh, but I like doing it, or oh, I don't want to stress him. You guys, we're thinking backwards. We actually reduce their stress when we empower them to feel like they can do it on their own.
Our job as parents, and this is so important, our job as parents is to work ourselves out of a job. That's the goal. Somebody help me preach. That's the gig. And the more we give away, the more competent our children become. Here's what's fascinating. The more competent they become, the more confident mm-hmm. they become. You want to help your child's anxiety? Give them responsibility. Give them agency. Give them the ability to affect and impact their day-to-day. And if your child is in middle school, and I would say even elementary, but especially by middle school, parents, do your kids a favor. Do not email your teachers, your children's teachers, about their grades. They are their grades, not yours, not mine. I've done eighth grade, and I nailed it. So it's up to our kids to figure that out. If they've got a question about a grade, let them go talk to the teacher like a human being. That's just, I say that out of love. I say that because my mom was a teacher, my wife was a teacher. I've seen it. Please never say to your children's teacher, "I just think she's bored."
Oh, can I tell you something? To Betsy.
You have put your child behind the eight ball, and just for the record, I know all of our children are blessings. They are, with a circle of responsibility. They're such a blessing. Your child, our children, are not that special. They're not. So let them figure out life under the safe, in the safe confines of your home and your leadership, but not you fighting every battle for them.
And we want to help you with this.
Absolutely.
We actually, in the Strong Enough series and in Fearless Mom this fall, we have a list of age-appropriate skills where you can gauge, you know, am I on track here for each, you know, developmental stage, each age. Your child should be learning to do this on his or her own. And we know that technology, you know, plays a huge role in a lot of families' lives. And some of that separating of the hoop, I'm not so worried about the students keeping their phones away, but it's moms and dads needing to know the exact location of their kids every second of every day. We've all trained ourselves to do that. I know because I did it. And so we have to lead the way for our kids and support our teachers. And so if you are in a school that has said in a courageous way, "We will be phone free," then don't text your child during the day.
Amen.
Don't do it. Let them go. And they'll be okay.
And by the way, thank God that you're in a school like that.
Oh, it's so courageous.
God's given you a great blessing in that school and making that decision.
It is such a courageous move, and I can't say it enough. Again, I studied so much this summer, and everything pointed in that direction. And then it's really, our kids are amazing. Our students are rock solid. But parents, we've got to trust them. They know our kids are good. It's us that needs to know their location all the time. Or we are triggered by, "Oh my word, I need to know if he turned in that homework assignment in third period." Don't. No, you don't until he comes home and maybe you talk about it. You don't even need to check the portal.
So to Julie's point, that's a
fact. I can't.
Fact.
That's a whole other subject.
But here's something else that we want to do to help. 2 weeks from today, we have two very special guests coming. Dr. Chinwe Williams and her co-author, Will Hutcherson, will be here on August the 25th. Dr. Chinwe Williams will be in our services that Sunday morning, and this is for everybody. But that evening, and this is the book that they've just released. Check this out, Beyond the Spiral, Why You Shouldn't Believe Everything Anxiety Tells You. That sounds kind of timely to me, but they come at it from a biblical Christian perspective, and they're going to do a workshop Sunday evening, afternoon evening, for parents of teens and preteens. That's 2 weeks from today. You need to put it on your schedule, and we got to spur the horse to the barn.
It's not just for parents. It's for coaches, teachers, for anyone. All of our student leaders will be coming to it. It's for anyone who cares for and works with students.
Very well said. Now, at the risk of giving away the end of the story of Joshua, I want to fast forward to the end of the story of Joshua. In Joshua 24, the Bible records for us that moment where Joshua realizes his time on earth in life and leading Israel is drawing to a close, and he issues what is essentially a farewell address. And in this farewell address, he is reminding Israel of who they are because of whose they are. He's reminding them of God's faithfulness through the years, like the song that we sang earlier. He's reminding them of all of these things. But look at what he says in Joshua 24:15. He says, "Choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family,
we will serve the Lord.
As for me and my family." That's the only choice I can make. As a mom and a dad, that's your choice to make. Will you serve the Lord as husband and wife? Will you serve the Lord as a single mom like my mom did? Will you serve the Lord in this household, in this hoop of responsibility that God has given you? That's the choice we all have to make. Whether you're a mom and a dad or not, you may be a single adult, you may have no kids, you still get to decide, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, as for me and my hula hoop, we will serve the Lord. I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. And in this moment, I want you to know that as a church, we are so passionately committed to helping everyone answer that question the same way Joshua did. If there's anything that we can do spiritually, if you have a question about what it means to be a follower of Christ, if you'd like to talk to somebody about that, when we dismiss in just a few moments, there's an area out in our lobby there called the welcome area, and there are folks there who would love to answer any questions, help in any way that they can. Maybe you want to talk to a pastor today. That's where to go when the service ends. But I want to have a word of prayer with you over this time and over where we're going as a church over the next few weeks. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for the fact that you are here with us. God, that you care about every single part of our lives. And Father, it's our prayer today that you would use this time. We thank you for the celebration. We thank you for the laughter. But Father, we pray for your grace personally, individually, collectively as family units, collectively as a church, to have the courage of Joshua, that you would give us the grace to be strong enough to say, as for me and my house, we will serve you. We will make you a priority. We will make your church a priority. We give you this time in Jesus' name.